Well, you know, when you take an airline, we take a flight, that they would taxi a ways, and before they take off, they read some instructions to you. And someone sent us a New Year's greeting in that format. It says, "Good morning and welcome to Flight 2022. We are prepared to take off into the new year. Please make sure your positive attitude and gratitude are secured and locked in the upright position. All self-destructive devices, pity, anger, selfishness, pride, and resentment should be turned off at this time. All negativity, hurt, and discouragement should be put away. Should you lose your positive attitude under pressure during this flight, reach up and pull down a prayer. Prayers will automatically be activated by faith. Once your faith is activated, you can assist other passengers who are struggling with their faith. There will be no baggage allowed on this flight. God, our captain, has cleared us for takeoff. Destination greatness. You are flying into a new year filled with new hope, new joy, and new blessings." Amen. That's what this is. New hope, new joy, new blessings. We're in a new season. We're in a new season, and you need to forget about everything that happened in 2021. First of all, when I think about it, we can't do anything about it. 2021 is over. It's history. It is the past. Say 2021 is now the past. Good. We're in a new year and we have new opportunities. We have great opportunities. And it should encourage us for a couple of reasons. First of all, no matter how rough it may have been on you last year, you still got through to the new year. And I want to tell you something about that. One of the tactics of the enemy is to mock all of your accomplishments or any of your accomplishments, to make you feel that you really didn't do anything big, didn't do anything great. And he'll mock you with this saying, "Well, yeah, you made it to the new year, but you just made it by the skin of your teeth." I'm still trying to figure out how to get skin on my teeth, number one. But who cares how close you make it? There's such a thing in some competitions where it's called a photo finish. That means both competitors cross the finish line and they are so close together, they have to take a photograph of them and then examine the photographs and decide who won. And whoever it is that came in first, they get all of the rewards, all of the accolades, all of the trophies. They get them. They don't say, "Well, you have to share it because you just barely made it through." No, once you cross the finish line, you have won. Period. You get the trophy. You may have made mistakes along the way, but winning the race means, regardless of all of the adversities, all of the obstacles, all of the struggles, all of the hurt, all of the pain, you made it through. And there's something the Apostle Paul told us about that, and you can find that in 2 Corinthians 2. Why don't you turn there? I'm going to share this in what's called the New Life Version, because I really like the way it says it. As we thank God for the power Christ has given us, He leads us and makes us win in everything. I like to win. I like to win. Say, "I'm a winner in everything because of the power of Christ." See, the margin of victory doesn't matter. Whether you win by an inch or by a country mile, whatever that is, it doesn't matter. All it means is that Christ caused you to win. And I'll tell you something else about close victories. Look at 1 Peter 5. Then I'll tell you and give you an athletic example. But 1 Peter 5, verse 8 in the Message Bible, it says, "Keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping." keep your guard up. Close victories keep you sharp. Close victories keep you alert. Close victories force you to remain fundamentally sound. When athletes are always winning by wide margins, they tend to pick up bad habits. Why? You don't have to stay as sharp. You can take chances. But when it's a close victory, you have to stay focused. I absolutely loved playing in close games. Games where you blow someone out by 40, 50 points. First of all, it was boring to me. Second of all, you pick up bad habits because now it doesn't become a game. It becomes fun. And you're doing things that you would never do if it were a close game. So the fact that, you know, I barely eked through in my encounters with the devil is a good thing because it keeps me sharp and it'll keep you sharp. When you compete in a close game, everything you do matters. Everything, every free throw matters. Every missed shot matters. Every turnover matters. And so you have to make sure that you are always on point. But if you don't stay focused, who knows what can happen to you? Because you're not alert, you're not aware of the things that are going on around you. One of the exercises, not physical exercises, but like a mental exercise that I used to do when I was an instructor here at Love Christian Academy, I would ask questions on an exam, but I would include questions that had nothing to do with the subject matter, but had to do with their ability to notice their surroundings. I would ask questions like, what's on the marquee? What's the message on the marquee in front of the building? Or, you know, there's a poster on the second floor stair landing. What does it say? I don't know, one of the members of our tech team may remember those types of things. But I did that so people would automatically become aware of their surroundings. I learned it from my fifth grade teacher. She had a little sign on a bulletin board in our classroom. Nobody paid attention to it. It was up there for 2 weeks. And then she told us about it. She had written on the sign, the first person that takes the sign off the bulletin board and brings it to me, I'll give $5 to. Nobody saw it because who pays attention to what's on the bulletin board? But after that, everybody, by the time we came in the room, everybody was looking at every inch of the room, finding out what was going on. I mean, she never did anything like that again, but her point was well made. We have to be alert and aware of what's going on around us. And you can't do that when you're not in a close race, when you're not in a tough situation. The second thing we need to understand is that we have another opportunity or more opportunities to do great things for God. We have, as they say, a whole nother year. And God's focus is what you're going to do. God's focus is what you're going to do now, not what you've done up to this point. See, God doesn't put his focus on, he doesn't look at us and say, well, you didn't really do a lot in 2021. He doesn't do that. It's a new season. The past is over. And let me give you proof of that. The Apostle Paul told us something, and we need to remember, and we're going to spend a few minutes talking about it. Look at Philippians 3. I know it's very familiar, and we're doing it in the King James Version. I wanted to use a different version, but the Holy Ghost said most of you have the King James. And it uses some strong words. starting with verse 13, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead." And he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." See, in layman's terms, that means I don't think about anything else except grabbing onto what God has for me. That's all I think about. What I want you to think about is Paul does not say to us, be burdened by your past. Think about your mistakes and your failures. He doesn't even talk about we should remember the things that we did wrong. In fact, he goes out of his way and says, forget them. Forget all the stuff that's behind. Think about what I just said. Forget all. Now, what's included in all? The good things you've done, as well as the things that you've missed. All of it. He says, forgetting those things. Anything that's in the past, forget about it. Forget about it. Look at Philippians 3. Because sometimes when we're too busy looking on the good things that we've done, we miss what we should be doing now. Again, if I go out there and you have a spectacular game or you do sing a spectacular song and do a spectacular event, that's not going to help you the next day because you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And you can't mess up and say, well, I did it well 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was perfect. Well, now it's 2 weeks later. And we need you to do it now, not then. Philippians 3, did you get there? This is out of the Passion Translation, verse 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul telling the church at Philippi, he said, "Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. To truly know him meant," listen carefully, "to truly know Christ," so you could say to press toward the mark, get the high calling of God, to truly delight him means letting go of everything from my past. Everything. Like the movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Letting everything from my past go and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. The Apostle Paul said, it's all like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. So we will never get to know the Lord in all of his greatness if we're dwelling on the past. The good, the bad, the other. It doesn't matter how you could have been super Christian last year. This is 2022. That doesn't mean anything anymore. Because he needs us to be it now. We need to be pressing for the mark that's before us now. We can't press for the mark that was placed before us in 2021. We can only do what's before us now. And we don't want to get stuck on that. It says press towards the mark of the prize. Press towards the mark. Doesn't say press away from the mark. It says press toward the mark. And those of you that know me know I like knowing what words mean, especially when God is making a point. I need to know what he's talking about. So I looked up the word towards. I looked it up in the concordance and in the dictionary, and they basically mean the same thing. I'm going to use it in terms of the language in the scripture. Press, instead of towards, I'm going to tell you what it means. Press in the direction of the mark. So if the mark is towards you, and I'm pressing over here, it doesn't matter the victories I get, doesn't matter the accolades I get, it doesn't matter the accomplishments I make, I'm going in the wrong direction. I can be very good pressing in this direction, but this isn't the mark. The mark is this way. So I have to press towards the direction of the mark. It also means to press with a view to obtain or having the mark. That means I'm pressing where I know the mark is supposed to be. God said, go forward. I'm looking forward. My direction is forward. I'm not off to the left, off to the right. I'm not going behind, backing up. I am going forward because that's where the mark of the prize is. And I don't care what's between me and the mark, I'm going through. It says press in the area or vicinity of the mark. So if I don't see the mark directly, but I know it's in front of me, I'm going to keep moving in that direction. Because the closer I get to the mark, the clearer it's going to become. So just because I don't see it in that direction, I don't think, well, it must not be there. It must be over here. No. If he tells me press forward, I'm going forward in that direction with the expectation that I'm going to see it. It's just like an airplane or a jet pilot. They're going through a cloud. When you're 35 feet, you can't see what's left, what's right, what's north, what's south. You rely on the instructions from the control tower and your instrumentation that tells you you're on the right course. You turn those things off, you don't know where you are because everything looks the same. Everything is like a blur. So you have to press in the area of vicinity of the mark, and you have to press turn towards, that means you turn to the mark. So if I'm over in this direction, and God is saying to me, press to your right, go to your right and go straight, I have to turn myself in that direction and go. I can't stay over here and say, well, this is easy. Yeah, it may be easy, but it's wrong. Well, I see other people going that way. Other peoples are not you. He told you, press forward towards the mark. Or he told you, go to the right toward the mark. Wherever he told you your mark of the prize of his high calling is, that's the area, the direction, the place, the focus that you use. Where he has said, not where you would rather be. I know yesterday, going to the store, getting out, it was 20 degrees and the wind was blowing. I would rather have been somewhere else, doing something else. But I had something that I was supposed to do. I had a place that was supposed to be. And God didn't say, go to this place and do this or say this, unless it's warm and cozy and comfortable. He said, go. So you press towards that. I was hungry. I didn't have a chance to eat. And I told him, Lord, I'm hungry. He said, first of all, look in the mirror. You don't look like you're missing any meals. I said, okay, God, I don't, now we got jokes tonight, right? And I said, I'll go. I said, you know I'm going to go. Philippians 3:13-14 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Means I don't understand everything in all this. But this one thing I do. I understand this fundamental. I understand this principle. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I have to press. Why can't you just walk casually? No, you have to press, because there'll be obstacles along the way. Just, you watch a football game. There are 22 men on the field, not counting the officials. You have 11 men trying to stop another group of 11 men from advancing to their goal. You won't even enjoy watching a football game if there's just one team out there and they get in, they throw a pass and there's no opposition. Just as a spectator, we want to see good opposition. We want to watch a good game. A very good game. And I'll tell you something. When it says forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark, there's a revelation in there. See, you can't press toward the mark if you're visiting with your past. You can't do it. In order, that's why it says it in that order. You cannot press toward the mark. You cannot reach forth to those things which are before if you haven't forgotten those things which are behind. I thought it was interesting in Luke, I believe it's Luke 9. You don't have to go there. I'll just tell you about it. Where all these people were telling Jesus, I will follow you. And he was saying, yeah, you'll follow me. You know, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have any place to lay his head. And then one person said, well, let me go first and say goodbye to my entire family and then I'll come. There was one translation that I was reading that scripture, and Jesus said to the person, why are you still thinking about your past? Anybody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit. Why? Because when you put your hand to the plow, you are going in a specific direction. What direction? Towards the mark. And if you look back, you're more concerned about where you've been than where you're going. And God is more concerned with where you're going instead of where you've been. Why is that important? Well, God is the one that said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. That I had plans for you, a prophet to the nations. That's what I had for you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, he already had it all mapped out. Knew every mistake, every deviation, every untruth, knew everything that we're ever going to do before we were formed in our mother's womb. And now that we're out of the womb and in this world, and because Christ empowers us to victory, we can accomplish anything God tells us to accomplish. Anything. Because the scripture tells us, scripture shows us that Christ, the power of Christ, will cause us to win. You may know that scripture is, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory in Christ Jesus. But I like the one that says, causes us to win, because we think more about winning and losing instead of victory. But you can't press towards the mark if you are visiting your past. Whatever makes up your past will hinder your pressing forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. You need to be single-minded about it. When I wanted to prepare myself for competition, I had to build up my endurance, my physical endurance. I had to build it up. So living out in Far Rockaway, on Beach 41st Street, I'd take the bus to Beach 164th Street and run back home in the sand. And I made sure of two things. I didn't have any bus fare to get the bus to come back. And I didn't have any money to go in the store and buy water or soda or something to drink. No, I was telling my body, you're going to go this distance. Whether you're tired, achy, or thirsty, you're going to finish this. And that's what I did. Well, when game time comes, because you've been training your body doesn't care how long it has to run. Doesn't care if it's a regulation game or if it's overtime. It does, your body doesn't care because it's been tuned. It's been trained. It's in shape. It's prepared for what you need it to do. When you call on it for power, it's there. It's there. And when we realize that we're pressing towards the mark, we're not thinking about things that we've done. We're meditating on the truth that Christ will cause me to win. You just keep going. I'm tired. That's okay, but Christ will cause you to win. So you keep going. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You keep going. And nothing else should matter. The only thing that's important is obtaining the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. I was thinking about Abraham. Go to Genesis 22, would you please? I wanted a New Testament account, but Abraham kept coming up. Because I said, you don't want to think about your path. What does that have to do with Abraham? Well, I'm about to tell you. In verse 1 of Genesis 22, King James Version, says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, being God, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now that doesn't mean you get your son, you take him to Mount Moriah, and you burn him. No, that's not it. That means you take him to Mount Moriah, you tie him up like you would if you were sacrificing an animal, and you kill him, and then you burn him. Abraham knew that. Isaac knew that. But I want you to just think in terms of pressing toward the mark and forgetting your past. Again, I know it's Old Testament, but Abraham is being commanded in the present tense. You know, it's like if this was happening today, Abraham is being commanded to sacrifice his son. And his son happened to be what we refer to as the child of promise, Isaac. Abraham had a choice. Press toward the mark or remember the past. So what do you mean, remember the past? Well, Abraham had the option to repeat to God what God said in Genesis 17:19. Look at that. God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, not Isaac the first or Isaac the second, Isaac. And I will, listen to what God said to him concerning his son, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So God is saying to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him. Abraham said, but wait a minute, God. You told me well over many years ago that you were going to bless, you cut covenant with Isaac and all of his seed. Well, he's not even married yet. So how are you going to tell me to go and kill him when you told me years before what he was going to become? God's not talking to you years before. He's talking to you now. And he's fully aware of what he said back then, and he's fully aware of what he's saying right now. The only question is, do you still trust God now the way you did before? You believed what he said? He's telling you to do something. Believe it's going to be okay. He didn't think about those things and say, I'm not taking Isaac anywhere. Because you said you were going to cut covenant with him. But Abraham decided to forget those things which were behind and to reach forth to those things which were ahead. He chose to press through his thoughts. He knew what was necessary to sacrifice, to complete a sacrifice. He had to press through all of those thoughts to do what God was asking him to do right now. We're going to have to press through all of our thoughts, folks. All of them. And push them, let them stay aside. They should already be pushed aside because we're in 2022. So anything up to 2022, should be pushed aside. Shouldn't even be looking at it anymore. He counted everything that happened before, he being Abraham, as dung. Or as the scripture we read said, as manure. You know what that means. And so what did Abraham do after he got all that stuff squared away? Says Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass or saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And he said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire. In other words, he said, I see the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham didn't say, surprise, surprise, God, you be the lamb, son. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 9. And when they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in the order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Doesn't talk about what Abraham was thinking. Doesn't talk about there was a struggle where he had to take two hands and hold a knife and was crying, no, I can't do this. I'm sure there was some emotion there. He had to press through all of that because for reasons unbeknown to him or us, really, that was pressing toward the mark of the prize for Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife ready to plunge it into his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you feareth God, seeing you have not withheld my son, thine only son, from me. What's the principle there? You're not withholding whatever you consider most precious. You're not going to hold on to that instead of pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter what God has blessed you with. That blessing is not going to be the reason you operate in disobedience to what God is calling you to do now. Well, how did that apply? Well, not getting on your case, but getting on it a little. There are people, they've been believing God for a job. They're in service. Every time the door opens, they're volunteering. I'm not talking about anybody in particular, so don't think I'm talking about you. If your toes are aching, it ain't me. But you used to see him come and volunteer. Then you don't see them anymore. You don't see him in service. You don't see him coming. So what happened? Oh, God blessed me with employment. The same God that said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, blessed you with something that will cause you to forsake assembling with yourselves, one with another. Abraham had a promise. Your wife who was barren will bear you a son in her old age. Both of them over 100. Abraham was not going to let that blessing be the reason, be the excuse that he disobeyed God. He said, I don't care what God gave me, how valuable I see it, it's not as valuable as me pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. I'm not going to do it. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called that the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. In the mount of the Lord, you keep pressing toward the mark, you will see it. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and listened to what he said. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Think about what would have happened had he not obeyed his voice. But because Abraham forgot those things which were behind and pressed towards what God was calling him to do, look at how we all benefit from it. In thy seed, in the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth is blessed. All the nations. All. If Abraham doesn't do that, none of the nations would be blessed. So it's a new season. Forget about the past. You're going to have to forget about everything that happened between the day you were born and December 31st, 2021. You're going to have to forget about everything concerning that and lock into what God is telling you to do now in 2022. Don't get stuck dwelling in the past. Don't get stuck on past promises. To the point, well, don't get stuck in them at all, but you certainly don't want to get stuck to the point that you don't handle your current instructions. God is not forgetful. He remembers everything that he's ever said to us, and he doesn't contradict himself. He knows what it will take for us to always be successful, and he knows what's necessary for us to cross the finish line. He said, I count not, he had Paul tell us, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So all we have to do, folks, is reach and press towards the mark, thanking God every step of the way, because as we read in 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the New Life Version, we thank God for the power Christ has given us, because he leads us and he makes us win in everything. So because we know we win in everything, there's no reason to hold on to the past. Because we know that through the power of Christ we win in everything, we let go of the past and forget about it. Whatever happens to the past, happens to the past. We're pressing towards the mark of the prize. We're reaching out towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus for us in the year 2022. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, Lord, the new year with new opportunities. Thank you that everything that happened in previous year is wiped away. In the same manner that you said, you'll remember our sins no more, we'll remember the past no more. The past will no longer be a hindrance to our future. And we thank you for letting the Holy Ghost remind us on those times when we start maybe leaning to the past. The Holy Ghost will remind us, you've let go of that. Keep moving forward toward the mark. And when we get those prompts, we will yield to them quickly. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a couple of things I want to do quickly before I let you go. Pressing to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Or sometimes they say the high calling of Christ Jesus. Of Christ, in Christ. You're not going to be able to press toward the mark of the prize of his high calling if you never received him as Savior. The Bible says very clearly, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's that simple. You'll now have the ability to forget those things that are behind and to press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's only found in Christ Jesus. And for you to get in Christ, you have to let him get in you. And you do that just by speaking. So why don't you say this after me? God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I also believe he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways. I turn from my past. And I turn towards you. And I ask you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, as I said earlier, according to the Bible, you've confessed him with your mouth. If you believe that, what you've confessed in your heart, according to the Bible, you just got born again. Jesus came to live in you, and you now have the same Christ I have and every other believer has that can allow you, puts you in a position where you can now press towards the mark. Among other things, there's so many things that are available to you now that you've received Christ. And we want to get that information to you. And since you're not physically here, the best way for you to get it is to contact us. The contact information is on the screen. and tell us, I made the confession with Pastor Greg. I'm born again. I need to know what to do next. And we will send you free information. Free, no strings attached. And if you have any questions about what we shared tonight, please use the same contact information. Contact me. I may not get back to you the same day I get the email or call, or however you choose to contact me, but I promise you I will get back to you. Just as soon as I can, I will always get back to you. Amen.